Welcome, Beyond the Walls with Team World Vision. I am Lindsay Dean Ratchford, the Director of Team World Vision Endurance. This week, we are going to share with you a spiritual blast from the past. Every spring, we host our National Leaders Gathering, where our top leaders from across the country gather to be equipped and encouraged for their season ahead. Today, we are going to transport you back to March 2017, where I was blessed to share with our leaders a word that still holds true for us today.
Of all the people that are in this room, other than my immediate family, there are three people in this room that were with me on the day that I began the U.S. run on April 8th, 2013. And the person that I'm going to introduce to you in just a moment was one of the three people other than my immediate family that are here in this room that were with me on that day. I met her for the first time. Actually, I met her the day before. This young woman attends a church, Glendale Presbyterian Church in Glendale, California. And she was so gracious as to organize her church along with Johnny Huddle to have their entire church, not just a small group in their church, pray for me and my family before the U.S. run began. Their entire church, I mean, it's a decent-sized church, and in the middle of their church service, they put my family and I right in the middle of the aisle, and they all gathered around us and prayed. But it was the influence of this young leader who made that happen. And I met her that day, and then she was with me on day one of the run as well. And in 2013, I call it, this is like the one-year wonder for Lindsay Dean Ratchford, who we affectionately call LDR. Not only did she start running with Team World Vision 2013, she became an intern in 2013, and by the end of 2013, we brought her on the staff. It was like pretty darn amazing. LDR is, she is a fireball. When I think of three words for LDR, I think of fire, energy, and passion. And a person who loves God and loves his people and loves what we're doing. And we are so privileged to have her bring a word to us this morning from the Word of God, from the Lord. The other thing about LDR, though, is she was within about $1,500 of hitting legends. And we had a miscalculation. We had a little error in the calculation. And it was like a legit error in the calculation. We discovered it this morning. So as of this morning, Lindsay Dean Ratchford has hit legends. $50,000 cumulatively. And we're pretty pumped about that. I guess that's
a clap back quicker. That's good.
I think that's your welcome.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Let's welcome LDR!
Man, guys. Yesterday, we were preparing this place in this room, and we were putting on all these bags, and Julie and Brad, man, were just prepping that worship session. And I just started to reflect on all the faces that were going to fill this room and all the people that are on our team. And I was standing next to Christina, one of our newest hires, right back in the back of that room. And I said to her, how in the world have we been blessed with such a talented family? And she said, we're the church. You know? And we passed the plates today, guys. You know? You put your card in there because you are a living sacrifice. That's your worship, man. You just put yourself in a plate and said, Jesus, I am here to serve you. Right? Even when the waters are raging. So welcome to church this morning. Amen? Yeah. Woo. So guys, I am LDR. This is my amazing husband, George. He is the love of my life and my mission, my partner in mission. We hail now from the great state of California, Pasadena, 2 miles from the Rose Bowl. Boom. But guys, I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. I'm from the Cleve. You know what I mean? And this is my parents' house. They bought it for $20,000 in 1970. Can you believe that? Woo! Yes. And Barry and Kathy have formed me and shaped me and have loved me every day of my life in ways that I will never be able to repay them. But that's the love that I bring to you today. And this is their home, clearly, in Christmas. And I show you this picture because this year, during Advent, I was rocked. And guys, I mean, Advent happens every year. You know, the liturgical calendar, it's in line and it happens to remind us, right? And kind of keep us focused, the majors on the majors, you know? And it's nothing new, but I love Advent and I love Lent, like right now, because it focuses us in, you know what I'm saying? And guys, literally, my mind was blown this December because I was hearing the words of Isaiah in the Old Testament and then those passages from John the Baptist saying, prepare ye the way, in this prophecy that's been happening for thousands of years comes onto the scene in flesh, in Jesus, this little baby, God, like Emmanuel, right? God with us. And I realized at that moment, the rest of the New Testament is part of that prophecy. And Jesus takes that scroll of Isaiah, you know, and brings it. Ooh. Brings it. You know? You're preaching. And then he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And by the way, things are about to get a little crazy. But you don't worry, because I'm going and I'm preparing a place for you. And my spirit is going to come upon you. And you are going to do even greater things than I have done. Those who believe. That's you and me. We are part of this eternal prophecy. Have you ever thought about that? And literally, from that moment forward, I've been haunted with this question. Am I living prophetically? Does my life point to something bigger than me? And I'm not talking, guys, in the circumstantial, like I had a good moment and I said yes and like, ooh, Jesus. You know, but like, am I doing what I'm commanded right here in this moment, not knowing what's going to happen in the next, but that I am honoring God and who he is and that my life points to him? Am I living prophetically? And guys, as I was praying in LAX, because I spend a lot of time in LAX, I got my California peeps, I got my Colorado peeps, I got my Arizona peeps, got my Washington peeps up in Seattle. I get to be all over the place watching God's Spirit move in and through his people. And I was praying in that airport saying, Lord God, what is the word that you have for our team? What is the word that you would have for us? And I heard very, very clearly, dry bones, dry bones. And immediately I Googled dry bones. And you know something? That Lauren Daigle song popped up before the scripture. It's like, what's up with that? And I'm not gonna lie, I clicked on the song before I clicked on the scripture. But I'm starting to jam into this, and I don't know if you've heard that, but I mean, this song is like getting into my spirit, and I click on that text that is inspired, this melody. And guys, I really believe that this is the word that I'm supposed to be bringing to you today, that this is the DNA of who we are in the mission that we are on, that God has brought us to in this time, in this place. And this is what it is, guys. It's Ezekiel 37, and this is I think, the CEB, so if it, you know, doesn't roll with you real well, it's okay, you know. So here it is. Listen for God's word. The Lord's power overcame me. And while I was in the Lord's spirit, he led me out and set me down in the middle of a certain valley. And it was full of bones. He led me through them all around, and I saw that there were a great many of them on the valley floor, and they were very dry. He asked me, human one, can these bones live again? I said, Lord God, only you know. He said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the Lord's word. The Lord God proclaims to these bones, I am about to put breath in you and you will live again. I will put tendons on you and plates flesh on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. And when you come to life, you will know that I am the Lord. I prophesied just as I was commanded. And there was a great noise as I was prophesying, then a great quaking, and the bones came together, bone by bone. And when I looked, Suddenly, there were tendons on them, and the flesh appeared, and then they were covered over with skin. But there was still no breath. He said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, human one. Say to the breath, 'The Lord God proclaims, come from the four winds, breath, breathe into these dead bodies and let them live.' I prophesied just as he commanded me. And when the breath entered them, they came to life and stood on their feet, an extraordinarily large company." Who is right? And guys, a couple things occurred to me as I am reading through this passage. I mean, Ezekiel's the dude. He is the man. He is the prophet. You know? And God is calling him human one. Right? In the NIV, it's son of man. In the NRSV, it's mortal. God is saying human, mortal one. And he says, can these bones, your people, like this is Israel that is destroyed right now. Can these bones live again? And that's the reality of Israel at that time, both literally and metaphorically, right? He's looking at bones of his people in this vision. And God says, can these bones live again? And man, I don't know Ezekiel, but I literally would have been shaking in my boots with that, "Lord God, only you know." And it's just like God, isn't it? God doesn't just answer a question. He says, "Suit up, sucka. Put your armor on. You prophesy to these bones. You do." And he says it twice in there, right? Two separate times. Ezekiel did it just as he was commanded. Just as he was commanded. He didn't know what was going to happen. He's standing in the middle of a whole bunch of bones. And God says, "Try me. Here we go. You prophesy to these bones." And Jesus is, you know, like Jesus is in there. And this is Old Testament. I mean, that power of God, boom. Those bones come together, bone to bone and tendon and skin. And they're standing there. And I mean, have you ever had that? You've done what God has said. You've done what he's commanded, right? And then, well, but this isn't really working. You know, like it's come together, but there's no breath. And I feel like that's a life of faith, right? You got to trust and obey and trust and obey. And you move forward, right? Trust and obey. But then he puts that ruha, that Hebrew word for spirit, right? That ruha into those bones and they stand on their feet, an extraordinarily large army. Guys, you know what that army looks like? That large company? It looks like Doris. Guys, this is our large company, man. Doris from Seattle, 82 years old, crushing a half marathon. You know what I'm saying? And these are her words, guys, her words on her fundraising page as she became a Team World Vision hero, providing over 60 kids with clean water that lasts. She says, "If I tire on the run, I'll hold those sweet faces of Africa's children before me and pray. God, you put my feet up and I'll put them down." And these are the faces, guys. These are the kids on the other side of her prayers running through the streets of Askede, Ethiopia, in the middle of nowhere. Faces that weren't seen, voices that were never heard, but because of Doris's obedience, because of your obedience, they're running through the streets the first ever 1K inaugural fun run of Askede, Ethiopia. Woo! And I got some peeps that have been on these streets in Askede. And lives are changing. And these kids literally, I mean, are sprinting for a kilometer. It was the longest one of my life. But the beautiful part of it were kids and parents and people were flying out of these stores and these homes. And like out of nowhere, we had all these kids on the street running with us, joining us. Because when you prophesy, when you allow space for that spirit to move, lives are gonna change and God is gonna move. Amen? Guys, we got to back to that ADP office, our area development project office, where all of our work goes on. And as we shut those gates, we're going to have lunch. There were men and women banging on that gate to get their kids registered for sponsorship in that moment because it was real. And guys, one other kilometer walk that we did on that trip was a pipeline extension. And guys, you notice that's 2006. Again, dry bones coming alive because of your obedience. This pipeline extension is off a main road, just 1 kilometer straight out into the middle of nowhere. And that 1 kilometer costs $2,000 and has provided sustainable, clean water that lasts for 1,500 people. Boom! You know what I'm saying? And here's the thing. We know that $50 is sustainable clean water, right? That clean water that lasts. But 1,500 people out of 2,000, how does that happen? Because World Vision engineers don't mess around, y'all. Because when we do what we're commanded, we're allowing them space to do what they're commanded so the dry bones can come to life. Guys, they are always one step ahead. Their vision is always a little bit bigger. Our programs are no cookie cutter, just slap it on and make it work system. These guys are on their knees in prayer, sweating bullets for their people, for God's call in their life to do what they're commanded. And these projects are complex, comprehensive, and sustainable. They're gonna take it from zero access to 100. And it's all a scalable approach, guys. This scalable approach that's step by step. I mean, over years if it's gonna take it, right? So that pipeline that you saw, right? That's part of a scale project that has a deep water borehole well with a solar-powered pump that shoots all that water up to the tops of the hills, that highest area in that place. And there's a reservoir up there and a filtration tank that cleans that water. And then there's a gravity-fed pipeline that, bam, shoots it back down onto the main drag of that area. Little by little by little by little, right? So that when they lay that extension, and it's just 1 kilometer out, it only costs $2,000 to get 1,500 people clean water that lasts. Thank you, Jesus. But there's the thing, is as I was like checking this out, as we're walking down this extension, I mean, kids are coming out of nowhere and people are coming out of nowhere, right? And what I'm finding out is I'm walking next to Hadoosh, one of the water engineers and the agricultural specialist. He says, there are T-joints along this pipeline. And I said, what do you need T-joints for? He said, because when they're ready, when these families are ready, for $47, they can lay their own pipe in their own yard to have their own clean water. And guys, this family, this woman, when we got into her backyard, she welcomed us with open arms. And she had clean water for just 2 weeks. And Don Lee says to this woman, 2 weeks, what's really changed? And she snatched up that glass and she filled it from that spout and she toasted us, y'all. She toasted us and she said everything. And her daughter, you know, is filling up that glass and she explained to us how her kids are all in school and that she had been bearing that burden and walking all those miles for her kids and now she can be home with them and they can be in school and everybody can be healthy and that everything has changed, that her kids' lives will be completely different from hers. And guys, if you look at the beauty of that picture, that's an interfaith relationship that World Vision is building. Preaching the love of Jesus, coming with the tangible love of Jesus and opening up interfaith dialogue so that people know who we are and why we do what we do, because we know that when, like, why do those dry bones come into life? So that you will know that I am the Lord. Amen? Amen. Guys, this is my dude. This is Adairju. He's 10 years old. He's in fifth grade. He's top of his class, and he wants to be a doctor. Yeah, sucker. And here's the thing about Adairju. He took me to school in Jax. All right? Like, you know how we bounce a ball, right? He threw a rock up and then grabbed the rock and then caught the rock. And he was, like, doing it so fast. And I threw it up, and we were in his hut, in his home, and the rock, like, went over my shoulder. I got school, man. But we got to go to his home and meet his family. And I got to shake the hand of his mother for the first time. Can you imagine a whole bunch of Americans coming to your hut? And everything was perfect, and she was so happy to welcome us. I mean, look at her smile. And as I shook her hand, I noticed a little foot behind her elbow. You see that? And immediately I was like, oh my God, you had a baby. you know, and the translator's right there, and I find out that this little girl was born just 2 months ago. And I said to her, did you have the baby here? Because right now, you know, World Vision is working with the World Health Organization to eliminate home births. Home births, like pregnancy, is the number one killer of women on the planet. And World Vision is working to eliminate that with everybody else, right? And she shook her head with that smile across her face. And she said, no, I had her at the local maternity ward. And guys, there are people in this room that stood at that local maternity ward just a year before this picture. And we got to celebrate a clean water tank and sanitation and hygiene and new latrines. And now more women, we brought in 6 additional beds to this local maternity ward. It's not World Vision's. We partner with who's there, right? 6 new beds for these women to walk miles up to like a month before they're pregnant to just wait so that they can have their kids and they can get prenatal and postnatal care and education and training and getting like taken care of, you know what I'm saying? And this mama right here, she's a mother of 5. And this is her first child that she's had underneath medical supervision in a clean place with clean water. And that little foot is the first in their family to have a birth certificate. Dry bones, truth coming to life. And guys, when we serve, when we obey, when we do what we're commanded, lives change. But our lives change too. Our lives change too. Terry, man, hitting that red carpet in Seattle, crying like a small child, waving her American flag. And as I put that hero medal around her neck, I tell her that big old medal from Seattle Rock and Roll means you finished. And you deserve that medal. You should be proud of that medal because you saw it through. You did what you were commanded. But because you did that little hero medal with that Africa, doesn't mean that they finished. It means that they get a new start line for the rest of their lives because you said you'd try. Because you said you'd try. Guys, we get to be the visible presence of an invisible God in the streets of our city, bone on bone, tendon on bone. The skin and the flesh appearing. And this right here is the Ruha. You know what I'm saying? In our streets, these three women, these powerful women, we don't have one normal picture of them. Not one. Because God the Father is guiding them, empowering them forward because these dry bones have come to life. Brianna Hammond last week, she crossed that finish line in L.A., her worst marathon experience probably ever. But she step by step did what she was commanded. And what you don't know is Robin Shay's right behind her with that open mouth, aww, face. Because for the first time ever, one of Brianna's sons was at the end of that red carpet to welcome her home. And guys, when we talk about that life change, there's change in Africa. There's change in us. There's change in our families. People are watching and wondering, what do you got? And we do it so that we will know, so that they will know that God is God. And I have to end with this one. I have to. Because Michael Forsberg came out and served our Seattle team with all of his sweat and all of his might, and he did not run that race. But he went out to the one place that nobody was, out mile 12, mile 24, no man's land on a highway overpass. He went where no one else could go with a jerry can. And he carried that can and tapped that can. And as every one of our runners came past, he said, this is over because of you. This is over because of you. This is over because of you. Because of you, right? We can end this thing. Those guys on the other side of the planet are ready to do what they've commanded. And what I'm saying to you today is, are you ready to do whatever God's commanding you to do? Because shit was coming up here, and you know he's not going to mess around. You know he's got a word to bring, and you know that that man's been given a vision from God, and he's doing what he's commanded, and he's invited us in. So my question to you today is, what are you commanded to do? And don't worry about what comes next. Because God will take us step by step. He is faithful. He is good. He is trustworthy. So do we believe? Do we believe him that these dry bones can get out of bed and come to life so that others can too? And maybe the other bones are going to come to life before yours do. But God is faithful and God is true. Hear these words from Jude. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you blameless and rejoicing before his glorious presence, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, belong the glory, majesty, power, and authority, be all time, now and forever. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Dry bones, dry bones. Do you believe that these dry bones can come to life? Do you believe that your dry bones can come to life? It's been a crazy season already, team. And some days, I don't know about you, I feel great. Other days are hard. They're just tough. And I'm just taking it one step at a time. But know that God is with you. And his spirit can bring your dry bones back to life and is using your dry bones to bring others back to life. So what is it that God is commanding you to do? Listen carefully, lean into your calling, take it one step at a time, and know that we are here to go farther together. Thanks for running with us this week.